Welcome everyone, this is All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast 225, recording this on the 3rd of August 2017. I'm Steve Litchfield. With me I have Rafe Blanford again.
Hello everybody, yes, great to be back for another All About Windows Phone Podcast, and managed to do 2 weeks in a row, so I'm feeling particularly impressed with myself. We've got the usual number of news stories to walk through, the usual diversions, discussion about Windows 10 Mobile and everything else. And so over to you, Steve, for our first topic.
Well, I just wanted to mention this new toy I've been waiting for. It still hasn't arrived. I think, I'm not sure whether we mentioned this last week, but it's now been officially delayed. And not only delayed, but Microsoft have been phoning people. I guess there's been sufficiently few in the grand scope of things who actually pre-ordered this Alcatel Idol 4 Pro that they were able to phone them individually one by one. And not only that, they've actually offered us, as an apology, a significant sum of money on our Microsoft Store account. So I'm really rather chuffed by this. I know I've had to wait 2 weeks for the Idol 4 Pro to review it and play with it. But on the other hand, I've now got enough money to buy all sorts of in-app purchases and games and applications for the next couple of months. So it's just not all bad.
Oh, well, that is good news. So Steve will be able to... Yes, we probably don't want to know what in-app purchases you're going after. I'm sure you won't be wasting it. I'm sure you'll be spending it on some, we'll benefit from it on the site as you talk about some of the things you have a play with. But yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a shame. And I do find it quite amusing that they're able to phone everybody up individually. Are you still excited to get it? Are you sort of bated breath? I mean, I can sort of hear the cries of anguish.
I am still excited, although I have to confess, as with any shiny thing that you hear, see launched, you write the post that it's going to be available, you write the pre-order story, you write the availability story, and you keep listing the specifications, you get all excited, and then as time goes on, the excitement just starts to leak out, and you think, oh, hang on, it hasn't got glance screen, hang on, it hasn't got replaceable battery, hang on, the camera's not as good. So I am kind of waning slightly, Rafe, but it's a brand new Windows 10 Mobile flagship in August 2017. I really didn't think that would happen. So all credit to Microsoft and Alcatel. I know this is kind of a low profile release for them. I'm guessing the number of pre-orders was less than 100, shall we say, but that these are pre-orders and there have been zero reviews and zero coverage. So hopefully when a few sites like AWP have reviewed it, then there will actually be interest and there will be more orders and things will take off slightly. So I'm still optimistic, but yes, in the meantime, I've got all sorts of planes I'm buying in the Infinite Flight application, which they tend to be quite pricey. And also when I do reviews for apps and games, Rafe, I absolutely hate doing the screenshots for our readers showing adverts. It just seems unprofessional. I haven't bothered to, you know, pay the 99p or £1.39 just to get rid of the screenshots so I can show maximum content on the site. And usually I'm interested enough in the app to do that. Just occasionally it's something I really am not going to ever use. And in those cases, I guess I wouldn't bother with the in-app purchase to remove the ads. But with this Microsoft Store credit, that will be ad-free screenshots for AWP for the next couple of months.
Well, excellent news there. And yes, I understand what you mean about kind of waiting. I mean, there's an element of the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And once you start looking on the other side of the fence, maybe it sort of pales a little bit. But I can only admire your optimism and indeed your fortitude in pre-ordering it and being one of the, we'll be very first to cover it in a meaningful way, at least. Yeah. So we still expect that to happen in due course. So keep a close eye on the site for that. And in the meantime, enjoy the ad-free screenshots.
Okay, and we've also got some news just to move on with the news stories and stuff we've covered on the site in the last week. Several new builds, actually. In the show notes, it mentions that Windows 10 Mobile Release Preview, which is particularly important because it's the one that all those old Lumia 735, 830, Lumia 930, Lumia 1520 users, that's the way they get onto the Windows 10 Mobile Creators Update. That's the way they get in touch with what Microsoft are doing in 2017. It's the only official way. So you hop on the release preview ring on the Insiders program, and they've now got build 15063.502 if you're counting. But even after I released that In the show notes for you, Rafe, there's been another build late last night as I record this, a Windows 10 mobile with the fast strings now gone to build 15.237 with some significant bug fixes, including one which is bugging all sorts of people on our in our community, whereby, especially on the Lumia 830, 930, when you launch the camera and take photographs, you quite often get a black flash where the whole screen goes black just for a fraction of a second, and it's really off-putting. You think, is this a glitch? Well, it obviously is. It's a bug. You know, this really shouldn't be happening. This is not a smooth experience. That's now been knocked on the head for the fast string, at least, and presumably that will now ripple down to the release preview. And then Lumia 930 owners and 830 owners will get a complete glitch-free, black screen-free camera experience. But that has been bothering a lot of people.
Yeah, it's good news when those kind of things get fixed. But it's also interesting to see this release come out on the release preview, or rather I should call it a build. It does rather suggest that there's someone in Microsoft knows full well there are people with older devices kind of using this as a way to get the updates, if you will, that they otherwise might not. And all credit to them for doing that. I suspect it's kind of almost a back channel way of doing it without having to kind of go through the official support mechanism, if you will. And actually, it's a very sensible way to do it. But it does mean, I mean, the benefits, you say, especially for devices like the 930 or the 1520, which, because they're very capable devices, you know, in terms of things like the camera, but also kind of the quality of the screen, which in many ways are kind of the kind of critical elements for a lot of people, the performance is still pretty good on those devices. You know, Windows Mobile has always had a pretty good reputation for performance. That continues even on those older devices. It's fair to say those still run it very well, even though this is kind of effectively, yeah. I mean, whether you call it alpha or beta release of the platform itself. So good news in that sense. And what as continues to amaze me is there's all these little fixes still going in. So clearly there's still a pretty active bit of development going on, and they're listening to the bug reports as they come in and making the fixes. Sometimes it does seem to take quite a while for them to happen. You know, you notice something new has gone wrong, and actually that camera one's an interesting one because, like you say, very distracting. It's taken a while maybe to fix it. I wonder how the prioritization of those things happens.
Yeah, well, in theory, it should happen according to the feedback hub where people upvote particular issues. But then people may look at each feedback issue and see, well, is this a big thing to solve? Is this a small thing to solve? And obviously the small things get solved faster. One big thing I've been waiting for is the inclusion of traffic back in routing. Now, cast your mind back a year, Rafe, and you go into Windows 10 Maps on your Lumia 950 XL or whatever, and you could plan a route, get directions, and it would include all that wonderful traffic information, you know, the red roads and the orange roads, and it would include all that in the route calculations, and that hasn't been happening since the creators updated Redstone 2. So there's clearly a major disconnect between the platform version and Maps and Microsoft's own traffic servers and traffic APIs, and that has been upvoted by me and others a zillion times, and that still hasn't been fixed. I've even emailed the appropriate our contact on the Windows 10 Maps team, and they still haven't got back to me. I presume this is not a trivial fix, although they would have fixed it by now, but that is a big one for me because I do a lot of car navigation, and at the moment I just cannot rely on Windows 10 Maps to get me where I'm going.
Agreed, which is actually one of the reasons I mentioned this prioritization. I mean, clearly they do listen to the users, and it's a very important way to collect feedback. But yes, as you say, some of the things that have been upvoted, including this traffic, clearly aren't being fixed. And I suspect, particularly in the case of traffic, you know, it's tempting to say it's because it's reliant on effectively a third-party data feed or service. But of course, that same service is being used on the desktop and by Microsoft in various other applications, and it's not entirely sure whether I'm sure it is dependent on a third party provider with the data coming in from somewhere. So I do wonder whether there was some update to the service or to the feed that happened that didn't quite account for Windows 10 Mobile in some way, and you know, without sort of doing your forensic analysis, you can't work out why. But of course, that would rather suggest that the ability to fix this is beyond the control of the Maps team, and they may well be having to put a request in elsewhere, or it's a big update. And you know, it makes me think that probably there is a change to the feed or the service, which they would then have to put into the application, and that's probably not a trivial thing to do. Although, honestly, that feels like some planning or some kind of maintenance didn't work out quite somewhere, because obviously whenever you're doing this kind of software management, you're always cognizant of the fact that you need to provide backwards compatibility, or there'll be an install base of users out there kind of using the old version, and therefore you want it to keep working as long as possible. And actually, Skype is a good example of that, where Microsoft arguably maintained it longer than we ever expected them to. And something similar happened with the Maps application on the Nokia Symbian devices, and I've seen it happen elsewhere. But it is very noticeable that on modern smartphones, we're now very much reliant on loads and loads of kind of cloud services or APIs coming in from elsewhere. And they do tend to be the things that are more fragile and break and make the devices difficult to use. And it certainly happened in the Symbian world, in the kind of, as that declined. And, you know, I would identify that along with withdrawal of support for apps as being the thing that kind of tends to be a bit of a death knell for using the device. And obviously it's going to very much depend on the individual, because, you know, if you're not using your Windows phone to do navigation when you're driving the car, you know, you're probably not going to miss traffic, but there may be something else. And of course, each one of those gets more and more irritating. But that's one that I feel really should get fixed, because, as I say, you know, it's used in desktop Windows. It's clearly a service that has an application way beyond, you know, the mobile devices. So rather frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. And the really frustrating thing about it, just one final point, is that when you're plotting a route on a Windows 10 mobile device with Windows 10 Maps, on the screen, if you've got the traffic toggled on in the settings, are the actual traffic status. You can see the colours of the roads. There's clearly information from an API getting onto the physical display showing where the holdups are. And 1 inch below it on the screen, it says, here's your route. Oh, by the way, no traffic information is available. So there's clearly the two parts, the route planning and the map rendering, are using different APIs or different points on the Microsoft servers. And there is a disconnect. Someone somewhere needs to chase this through from the Microsoft end and make sure all the bits join up. And I just a bit frustrating. Anyway, moving on swiftly. Talking of really high quality applications now, Rafe, the AAWP Universal app has been updated again with a really rather big update. And there's a discuss change, which I'm going to come to in a story on the site, hopefully by the time this podcast is up. But in addition to all of that, it now handles bullet lists properly from the podcast. I've been guilty of that in the past. You and I tend to do a lot of copying and pasting of headlines, and then Joe's application has to muddle its way all through all the complicated HTML, and somehow it makes a mess of it. But that's now fixed, and bullet lists should always be there. There's now a new read later function. So if you've got a really long 2,000, 3,000 word review part, you can just...
Written by Steve.
Well, it used to be by you, but I appreciate you have less time these days. You can now mark it to read later, and it will appear on the hamburger menu in a special read later section, just so that you don't forget it. Now the search uses Bing. So before, it was just to open up a web wrapper on your existing Google search. It now uses a Bing API and Bing search, and it's all integrated in the UWP app environments. That's really, really handy and very well done from Joe. And loads more updates, tweaks. It's faster, it's smoother. Everyone who's tried it, Rafe, they've said that AAWP Universal is one of the model applications for the UWP platform for Windows 10. And it, goodness me, if every service had an application this polished, then we really wouldn't be complaining about the app gap anymore.
We are, and we're very lucky to have it. And we, you know, big thank you to Joe. And, you know, he's continued to work on this really as a labour of love, and, you know, including fixing things where Steve and I aren't quite getting the HTML formatting right. I mean, I think sometimes HTML is a little bit more forgiving for humans than it is when you put it through a parser. And as you say, copying and pasting, having kind of nested unordered list items in our HTML is actually what's causing that. And if you're listening to this, Joe, sorry for doing that to you, but thank you for fixing it. And as you said, you know, I mean, honestly, the app is probably the best way to consume the content that we produce, which is a pretty amazing statement for a website to make. Because, you know, obviously in that hamburger menu, you can get at the galleries very quickly, podcasts very quickly, and search was kind of one of those things. I mean, it was using, I think, Google site search before, but now by switching to Bing, it's got, you know, a more integrated feel. It's got quick access to Steve's kind of app pages. And I do like this kind of read it later, because obviously there are some articles you kind of save for reference, and that might be something like the app library, or it might be a review of a particular device, or, you know, particularly good tips and tricks. So, just really a fantastic app, and we're very, very lucky to have it.
Yes, and if you want to thank Joe yourself, there's actually a donate thing. If you go into the settings, there's actually a donate button, and then you can send him a virtual pint of beer. So I do encourage a few people to do that.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, let's thank Joe properly. Crick Info, I just picked this out of the ether because I've been following the test matches over here in the UK. I don't know whether you're a cricket fan, but there we are.
Absolutely am.
Yes. So Crick Info is one of the biggest websites covering cricket, and it was taken over a while back by ESPN, an American network, I guess, which kind of tainted it slightly, but it's still been out there and producing some good stories and some good coverage. And the old Crick Info application was, I believe, a Silverlight app for Windows Phone 7. And of course, it worked fine on Windows Phone 8. It worked fine 8.1. It even kind of works okay on Windows 10 Mobile, but clearly it was heavily out of date. Crick Info have been also revamping all their APIs, and they've been revamping their websites generally. I presume to make them more iOS and Android friendly, recognizing that people consume most of their content on the mobile. But part of that means that they've now taken the Crick Info Silverlight app out of the store, which is kind of fair enough. It was showing its age. I think it was about 3 or 4 years since the last update, for goodness sake. But my article covers the fact that their mobile site, because it's designed now to apply to other smartphones and Edge is pretty well compliant, I think it works pretty darn well, complete with hamburger navigation menu in Microsoft Edge on Windows 10 Mobile. So my contention and my question to the readers of the site and to you, Rafe, is, does it matter that the old app is being now discontinued? Isn't it better to have the up-to-date HTML5 hamburger navigation actually in the browser? Doesn't that work rather well?
Yes, the age-old web versus app argument. I always think, probably as a traditional mobile person, I always like the idea of apps. But I have to say, when it's, something content heavy, the web does a very good job. I mean, there's the usual provisos around kind of offline usage. But of course, when you're talking about something like sports coverage, kind of offline is of limited utility when you're trying to follow a test match live. And I know some of our American listeners will be going, a test match live over 5 days. Well, yes, it does happen. And it's, obviously very upsetting when you miss one of the crucial balls, because actually in the most recent test match, we had the innings or the match end with a hat trick. And actually, you only got the kind of excitement of that following ball by ball. And so, actually in this instance, I think web is absolutely fine. And we are seeing more and more sites that are kind of properly mobile first. And what I mean by it, it's kind of been a buzzword for a while now in web design, with the rise of responsive sites that kind of effectively reflow or reshape themselves according to the device that you're on. But mobile first means you really have sort of started from mobile and then progressively enhanced up to desktop. And Crick Info is actually a very good example of this. Then you get very good performance and kind of a very good experience on mobile, and the benefit of Edge being, shall we say, more standards compliant than some of Microsoft's browsers in the past means anything that's designed for Safari or Chrome and isn't doing anything too fancy, and even actually, frankly, if it's doing quite fancy stuff, is going to work pretty well. And actually, Crick Info is a great example of this. I mean, I guess the thing is, Windows 10 Mobile is almost better suited for this in some ways because of the live tile interface being front and foremost on the phone. I mean, on all of the devices, you can quite easily add a web icon and make it look like an app. But it almost feels like the start screen of Windows 10 Mobile and Windows Phone is made for this in particular.
Yeah.
I guess you get the same functionality on both Android and iOS as well, to be fair. But actually, that does make it feel like almost an app class citizen. And I think the thing is that people often miss when talking about some of the Windows apps is a lot of the time they are just wrap websites or something very, very similar to that. Kind of LinkedIn, I think, was kind of a good example of that, where frankly, it was just a web view, basically HTML5 kind of wrapped in a bit of a navigation framework. And if that's all they're going to do in an app, you might as well consume it in the browser, frankly. The only time it really makes sense to have an app is when it's all being properly served through APIs, and maybe there's a bit more of a transactional thing going on, and a unique UI, which is kind of a, if I can call it, an app-specific UI that's taking advantage of all the things that we like about the Windows UI. So in this instance, no, I don't think it does matter. But I'm afraid to see if I'm still a bit of a traditionalist. If I had an app for anything that I'm reusing multiple times, I'm probably going to use an app. I'm quite happy to fall back to web, and maybe something like Cricket Info is a good example, because I don't follow cricket religiously. I tend to follow some of the big test matches. And so, you know, being able to use it 7 or 8 times a year, that's fine. If it's an app that I'm using more frequently than that, and maybe a daily newspaper app would be a good example. I do sort of get frustrated by not having that available. And the offline functionality then does come into its own. I mean, there's several newspaper apps here in the UK, The Guardian, The Times, all of which have this kind of ability to download daily content and use it offline. And then that's very useful if you're doing a commute where the signal's bad or you just don't have great data coverage. And so probably a long-winded answer. Cricket Info, don't mind. In general, I'm still a bit of a traditionalist where it comes to the app versus web debate.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on. I was going to cover Flowdict, but I'll just mention it in briefly. It's a new universal Windows platform app that covers this dict standard, which is an internet standard for dictionaries. And you can have dictionaries on just about anything from slang to computer stuff to, you know, genuine languages. I don't need you to reply, Rafe, but just to point people. If I know dictionary goes along with geeks and tech enthusiasts, they do like their dictionary. So do go and have a look at Flowdict. It's rather plain. It gets the job done, though. And there are tens of thousands of dictionaries, goodness me. And that's all for free. And it's all online. And it doesn't use up much space on your phone unless you particularly want it to. So go and look at my mini review. I've got a feature here, Rafe. I did a how-to, and this is kind of a trivial thing, really, but one toggle in setting speeds up WordFlow. I did not know this, so thanks to Dave Hermit, one of our listeners and readers, for this particular tip. Basically, when Windows 10 Mobile came along, people were complaining that the Lumia 950, etc., the WordFlow keyboard, where you swipe your thumb around the keyboard, or even when you just tap away and the letters flash as you tap them to confirm they've been tapped, all of that just seems somehow slower and not quite as smooth as it used to be on the old Lumias, which had much slower processors. And we thought, what on earth is going on? Well, what is going on is that a layer of intelligence at the Cortana level was kind of learning what you were typing and then using that later on to suggest, you know, particular slang words or technical words you might use that aren't in the dictionary that you might want to use again. This is different from actually selecting words that you know you want to add to the dictionary, but it's kind of doing this on the fly and doing it semi-intelligently. But unsurprisingly, it was slowing everything down. And Dave very kindly pointed me to this toggle, which you have to find. I think it's actually in privacy and settings, but it's very hard to find and come across by chance. So the tip is just to type in a couple of characters I show in the article, and that takes you straight to it using the rather wonderful settings search function in Windows 10 Mobile. I used to turn the setting off to say, no, thank you, I don't want you to get to know me more. Thank you very much, Cortana. And it literally goes back to the old speed of Windows Phone 8.1, and you can be jetting around, entering text and swiping with almost no lag, and it's really rather fast and almost back to that speed where it once won a world record, Rafe. I don't know whether you remember that story, whether it had a video of someone entering one of the hardest paragraphs in the English language, and he did it in record time using a Windows phone, and you can kind of get back to those levels now.
Yeah, I do remember that. And there's been various world records around T9 and all the other keyboards as well. But that was particularly memorable.
Yeah,
I guess I must be a bit of a slow coach because I've not really noticed the slowdown when I've been using the keyboard. And I suspect partly because I'm switching devices frequently, I probably use the Flow keyboard less than I used to. It's kind of almost I have to jog myself to remind myself. Yeah. Because, you know, it's one of the kind of problems with switching devices. You kind of have a different keyboard every time. And, of course, those kind of Flow keyboards are available on other devices, although actually Microsoft has just withdrawn the one that it had for iOS for various reasons. The thing to sort of bear in mind about switching off this setting is it's not just affecting the keyboard. It's actually about kind of Cortana getting to know you. And I suspect this helps contribute towards Cortana recognizing certain words when you speak to it.
Sure.
Probably your own name is a good example, or locations of where you live. It's kind of almost using that in it's basically a predictive way to understand the sort of things and phrases you might say, and therefore work out what you might be asking it for. Because, of course, that's, you know, one of the contextual clues that voice recognition and AI systems in general tend to use. You know, they get trained, if you will. Just be aware that if you do that, you will be turning off that. It's also actually to do with the kind of the targets on the keyboard itself. And so It will understand what you've been entering. And if you make a correction, it will sort of say in the future, okay, that particular pattern means this. Because even on something like a flow keyboard, people will have slightly different ways they move around the keyboard. It's probably related to speed. I mean, if you watch people using it, some people have a very kind of angular, you know, back and forth style. Others have a much more swooping style. And that's one of the things that this can help with. And actually, if there are words you very often misspell, or rather it doesn't get the guess of what you were trying to enter right, this system, in theory at least, will improve that. I have said I never felt that there was a massive improvement going on, but I suspect it's one of those things that you don't really notice because it's quietly working away iteratively to improve things. It doesn't suddenly wake up one day and go, oh, right, I'll apply all those kind of new corrections or predictions. So probably just worth saying that if you do turn it off, you might need to just kind of monitor how the performance is for a while. Of course, if you've been using your device for a while, probably most of those kind of, you know, training or personalization has already gone in, and so you're quite safe to turn it off now, unless you change your name by Depole or something else like that.
Yeah. It's notable, Rafe, that I know you use an iPhone quite a bit for work. So iPhone, ignoring this WordFlow app that Microsoft had done for iOS, which has now been withdrawn, I'm guessing you, when you're on the iPhone, you basically tap out your messages. And so when you then pick up an Android phone or a Windows phone, or Windows 10 mobile, you're then having to think, a mental switch, think, hang on, there is a possibility I can use gestures and swipes. Whereas I only ever really go between Android and Windows phone, Windows 10 mobile. I almost never touch iPhones, which means that Everything I ever pick up, I can always swipe my thumb over the keyboard and get nearly identical results. I mean, the swipe that Google have built in is very, very similar to the swipe that Microsoft have built in. So I guess I'm just used to always entering text that way. And it's actually more unusual for me to tap a message out.
Yeah, I mean, there are other custom keyboards that let you do this. And actually, one of the requests I had from a family member when changing phones was, oh, I want the Microsoft keyboard. And actually, they didn't quite get that. They got another Flow keyboard that, you know, because they found it very easy to use. And I think anyone who's used the Windows Phone keyboard and now the Windows 10 mobile keyboard for any length of time really do recognize it's ever such an easy thing to use, because it's one of those, I guess it's one of those design legacies. You know, we're so used to using keyboards, and, you know, the layout comes from, well, typewriters if you go back far enough. The idea of having a keyboard on the screen, I mean, it's never been an entirely satisfactory way to enter text in some ways. And that was actually reflected in the early devices, you know, be it graffiti or back on the Newton. And then, you know, various of the Symbian devices had handwriting recognition, none of which did particularly well. And we've now have voice dictation coming, which is actually getting pretty accurate in some cases, including on the Windows devices. But the keyboard is, the on-screen keyboard is one of those things that came along with touchscreens. I mean, Steve, you'll remember plenty of devices that had physical keyboards, and you know, now we kind of laud the BlackBerry as kind of the last remnant of that, if you will. But yes, actually, this the Shure type keyboards and the Flow keyboards, really great innovation, really easy using. But you're absolutely right, because I'm sort of using an iOS device, it's probably more laziness on my part, because I could have found a solution. But I tend not to enter vast tracts of text on one of these devices, mainly because I'm quite often in front of a laptop or something like that. So I guess it might change my mind if I was doing long, long articles or emails. But yeah, this is a great tip. And if you're having this problem, absolutely, just as a reminder for people, you need to go into settings, look for or search for SP and choose the speech inking and typing, and turn off the getting to know you functionality. And there's just a button that says stop getting to know me, and you'll be able to have faster keyboard entry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've absolutely left it in that position, because the lag was just starting to annoy me compared to some of my Android phones, and now it is fixed. I will have to live with, though, Rafe Blanford turning into Rage Blindfold quite often, and that's a cross I'll have to bear, and you will.
Yeah, and if you've got particularly unkind colleagues, they will pick up your phone and enter Rage Blindfold over and over and over, and so that it starts correcting Rafe Blanford even when you do enter it correctly. For people who don't understand this reference, I should probably explain that this is not my secret hero identity. This was, I got misquoted in a magazine as Rage Blindfold. And quite how it didn't get picked up, I have no idea. But Rafe does autocorrect to Rage in quite a lot of instances. And Blindfold, I think, was just an unfortunate misunderstanding of what Blanford actually was. But there you go. Thank you for sharing that one with the world, Steve.
When my email to you earlier today started out as high rage because it was auto-corrected, I think I've always spotted it rather than send you a slightly insulting and hurried email. One final thing, Rafe. I don't often quote from rival sites. I know there are some good sites out there. Windows Central, there's MS Power User, and there are others. But there's one particular writer over on Windows Central who I think he kind of reads my mind at what I want to say. And I think I want to just read a couple of quotes from him for one of his articles. And the title was "Ignore the Haters, Use What You Love." And you can probably guess where this is going. But I think he was particularly eloquent here. So credit to Jason Ward. And I'll just read a bit of this, and maybe Rafe, you can react. He said, "Windows Phone is dead" has been the popular quarterly headline and social media mantra for the past couple of years. But for many fans who don't care what the naysayers say, Windows Phone is wanted, dead or alive. We're a hardy bunch. We've endured broken promises, broken platforms, broken communities. And if the harsh, inconsiderate and outright mean words of some have had their desired effects, broken spirits would be part of that list. But that's not the case. Despite the name calling, despite Microsoft's lack of interest, despite the platform shortcomings in its uncertain future, we use what we love. And we love Windows Phone in all its troubled glory, the fluidity of the UI, the uniqueness of live tiles, the integration of Microsoft services and more are things we've chosen not to live without. Sure, rival platforms are more popular, better supported, tied into smart home hubs, intelligent automobiles and are solidly positioned for the foreseeable future. But we love using Windows Phone. It works for us. It's neither intellectually unsound nor delusional to use the platform one loves. Yet if it works for them, it's simply a choice. We're not naive to the platform's problems nor Microsoft's failures either. We're painfully aware of the roller coaster ride of promises and disappointments that has been the Windows mobile journey. And even though the promise of Windows 10 Mobile has devolved into a platform in, quote, sustain mode, we still love Windows Phone as we anticipate what's next. And there's a long editorial. It kind of mirrors some of the stuff I've been saying, Rafe, whereby we've still got an active community, something in the region, I've estimated, an active, I literally every day looking for updates and applications, something in the region of 7 to 10 million people around the world. That's tiny compared to the billions using iPhones and Android, I agree. But there's still a sizable community, and they're all very, very passionate, very enthusiastic, and more to the point, we do love the interface. We do love our phones. We love our old Nokias, in particular with their great cameras. So are we delusional in carrying on liking them, carrying on writing for the site such as AWP, looking for updates, looking for articles, having fun? I'm having fun. What about you?
Well, I think there's only one way I can answer this. And, but being completely honest, I couldn't have said it better myself. And actually, you're right. I mean, just to echo what you said, I do enjoy reading Jason Ward's editorials. But this is kind of a fairly fundamental thing. I mean, you will hear the phrase something like Stockholm Syndrome said about some of the most ardent Windows 10 mobile fans. And, you know, perhaps there is an element of that. But there is also this thing that just because, there is a latest and greatest out there, it doesn't mean people want to switch straight away. And I think it's one of the mistakes that people make about mobile in general, that they assume everyone wants to be on the latest phone. For most people, it's not the kind of center of their existence. And there is that kind of group of people who are absolutely happy with Windows Phone or Windows 10 Mobile, depending on the version they're using. And you still see a lot of those around. And I think that makes up some of the 7 million. But you're also right to identify, there's this audience who absolutely is making a very conscious decision to stay on Windows 10 Mobile because they enjoy it. And I mean, we've always talked about the fact it does have a pretty distinctive UI. I mean, in many ways, iOS and Android have come closer together over the years in terms of the way things work. And actually, I think in many ways, Windows Phone kind of represented a halfway house, and it has since kind of evolved and kept its Windows heritage, if you will, and actually offers something a little bit different. And whether you identify with the live tiles or kind of the fluidity of the UI or the kind of the descendant of the Metro UI, or maybe it's the integration into Microsoft Exchange and Office and everything else there, that's what people are familiar with and they're very comfortable with. And actually, I'm very much a person who would say, march to the beat of your own drum. And, that's words for life, never mind your phone choice. And so, yeah, absolutely. Ignore the haters, use what you love, be your own person. And it does strike me as strange that some people do feel the need to sort of denigrate or, it's not necessarily abusive or just suggest that people are delusional or intellectually unsound. It is absolutely an open choice. And I think those who are maybe very conscious, and as Joe said, well aware of the limitations, and quite often will be carrying another device as well, or have chosen not to upgrade, or quite happy with the experience they have, or whatever it might be. But there's always a cheap and easy story to make, particularly on social media. And that's why we've had so many Windows Phone is dead. What I think it is important to say is that for anyone who, you know, is an ardent Windows 10 mobile fan, they absolutely do need to acknowledge that it is in this minority position, and kind of just ignore what everyone else says. You know, you've chosen you, that's absolutely fine. But don't be kind of unrealistic about what that kind of market position is. And you know, there's no point being bitter or getting upset about it. You know, life's too short for that kind of thing. And I think over the years, you and I, Steve, have defended and been in the face of many people kind of getting very wound up about their smartphone and, you know, wars over which platform is better. And, you know, that's absolutely continuing in the Android versus iOS fanboy world. But it is just a phone at the end of the day. And it may be somewhat blasphemous to say so, but, you know, actually, that's a very personal decision, what you choose to use. And, you know, don't let it upset you in one way or the other. But yes, I do agree with this editorial. And I rather like a world which you look at with a glass half full attitude, to be quite honest.
Absolutely. And just mention the market position there. Of course, the reason the sales market share of Windows 10 Mobile and Windows Phone is zero, basically, is because Microsoft stopped selling the blessed things. Of course, the sales are zero. They're not selling them anymore, guys out there. But I think Microsoft's position is very much that they want to keep their hand in Windows 10 Mobile. That's why we're seeing these updates. We're seeing the release preview and the standard creators update getting updates in the various rings with a feature 2 branch for the Lumia 950s, of course, the Elite X3 and the Alcatel Idol 4 Pro. That's going to carry on getting bug fix updates and even, you know, feature updates. We had one in the previous fast ring build to do with Continuum and portrait mode. So there is still work going on there, as you alluded to earlier. There are still programmers at Microsoft who are assigned to the mobile team and putting in, looking at the code, tweaking it, making sure all the core and the UWA tweaks are integrated into these builds, and these newer devices are getting these builds, and it is improving. It may not have all the wonderful ink and touchy-feely 3D stuff that the desktop's getting, but all the core stuff is actually still making it through, even if it's called a different branch name, feature 2.
Absolutely. I mean, the only other thing I'd say is I suspect there's probably more Windows Phone 8.1 devices out there. We've commented on this kind of feature phone almost ability in the past, because a lot of people are satisfied with that. So I mean, that's the other thing where I think sometimes the most ardent Windows 10 mobile fans aren't always fully on board with that. And, you know, we've talked about the numbers and the stats in the past around this. I mean, certainly people commenting on the AAWP site are very likely to be on yeah. that, and so it's perhaps not an accurate reflection, just something based on what I see out in the wild. I think that's true. I think the other thing that becomes interesting, it's going to become harder for people to maybe stick with it, you know, as further time goes forward without a new device emerging, which I guess why there's, you know, it's interesting to talk about the Alcatel, but there's also a lot riding on Microsoft doing a first party device of some description, because you'll be getting to the kind of natural kind of upgrade life cycle for devices like the 950. I mean, it's already happening for the older devices and people are choosing to stick with it, but that won't last forever. And so, you know, the retrenchment that we talk about with Microsoft is actually sort of hitting, I mean, officially it's kind of the 1 year mark, but more realistically it's 2 years. And so it is going to become more acute. So it's why we've kind of, that's, I think, a home truth that everyone needs to realize. But at the same time, it doesn't change the original sentiment here that people should, you know, use what they love. It's just, you know, have a degree of realism on all sides. And if we're demanding realism and understanding from people who might be writing slightly rotten headlines about your delusional Windows 10 mobile users, we should also have a degree of realism the other way. But I don't actually think that's in short demand, because you don't see Windows 10 mobile sites, AAWP, or indeed anyone else declaring that it's the future and it's going to be brilliant and it's going to take over iOS and Android. There's sort of a latent optimism maybe around the alleged Surface phone, but, you know, actually with some justification, I would say, given that Microsoft is continuing to develop the software, as you rightly say, and continuing to add features. If it was, you know, really intending to put the kibosh on things, I think that would have ended by now.
Absolutely. So as you I said earlier, it's the glass half full attitude. AAWP is a glass half full site. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this up, Rafe, that we're well over the half an hour mark. I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you very much for listening. I'll let Rafe sign off. And I don't know, will you be here next week, Rafe, or is it a week off and a guest?
No, we should be able to sort out something next week. But if not, you'll have a guest in place, I'm sure. We'll have a little pause on the podcast. Yeah. But yes, thank you from me as well for everyone for listening and for Steve for all his hard work. Goodbye, and please tune in next time.